this, Exodus. We know it's a great epic story, Exodus meaning exit, bought out. And as we start, we're going to see how God did it. A couple of things to remind you as we go through. Remember, in the Old Testament, there are types and shadows, okay? Types and shadows. So we may see a person who might be a type of Christ. For instance, in our study of Isaac, Isaac is a type of Christ. In today's study, we see Egypt. Egypt is a type of world. So you have to view it from a different perspective. Take it literally as it happens, but know that there are types and shadows. In other words, things that parallel or are equivalent to, not 100%, but there's a positive correlation between that person and a person maybe in the New Testament or in current system today, or a type. He or she is a type because they exhibited one particular quality maybe, and that would make them a type. Okay, Exodus chapter 1 is where you need to be. It's good to see the Willises have joined this crew. The Brother Willis, y'all remember Willis from the old days, Jerry. He wasn't hiding out at a main campus. He has been away. I just want to let you know he has been away. He's back. And I saw him doing a new members orientation. Even went back through new members orientation. You know, this brother, he don't pick right up where he left off, you know. So it's good to have him. And there are others that will join us a little later on. But this is a very good lesson. It's one that I hope at the church campus where they have the small groups, you can really get distracted by this lesson here, and try to read too little and too much. And as a matter of fact, we have a very diverse group at Resurrection. You can get into some arguments even amongst Christians about this lesson today, because there are some, okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I implore you, read this word and know that it's written, it's God's instructions for us. You would wonder, a lesson like today is a tough lesson because it involves subjects that we just don't like to talk about in church. We don't like to talk about murder, mayhem, slavery, bondage, abortion. That's all in today's lesson. And it's real easy, those subjects, just think about those things. Yes, and those verses that we're going to deal today, they have all of that in it. But it was recorded for our instructions to show us that there is nothing new under the sun. Men have been reprobates, spiritual thugs, miscreants all of their existence. There is none righteous, no, not one. This world is not your home. The thing I love about Exodus is that we didn't have to run too far to have a fulfillment of prophecy. God says over, I think it's around chapter 15, to Abraham, you're going to go down there, you're going to sojourn, but that ain't your home. What I've given you is your home. And we see up until this point, you guys know that every time there was an issue, Sister Keys, they always ran to Egypt because Egypt was their comfort zone. And then later on in the first century, we see Christ, his family, having to do the same thing, running back down to Egypt. But Egypt is a type of system or world. That's what it represents when you see Egypt. When you see the word Egypt in the Bible, we're not only talking about a literal country, but we're talking about a type of world system. And you can't get too comfortable. The message is you can't get too comfortable in world systems. Ah, y'all didn't hear me. Yeah, that was a fastball right past you. Joseph was the number two man in Egypt. He brought his family to Egypt because there was famine in Canaan. Okay, there they go, running again from famine down to Egypt, the comfort zone. Joseph rises in stature, rules and reigns in that country as the second in command. You know, his family moves there. He's prospering. But something happens. First of all, Joseph dies. And you know what? So did his whole family. They died off. The old clan, they all died, you know. Benjamin, his dad, all of them, they die. All the brothers, Joseph gone. And chapter 1 opens up and contains one of the saddest verses in the Bible. And it's in verse 7 of chapter 1 that I want y'all to read. Chapter 1, verse 7. Ah. Verse Sneed, I thought you said something tragic happened there. That's verse 7. It is. You know why? Because they're prospering. And the issue is they're prospering, not only prospering, they're growing in population. Somebody say population. Now, if the Bible says population is good, why is it that men have always sought to control it? Y'all don't want to play today, you know. Let me just go on and get straight to the matter. They were increasing. They were increasing in a country in which they were not the native citizen. They were naturalized. They came there through immigration policies. Oh, somebody better help me. Y'all better help me. But, and there ain't been no problem. You know, they had somebody who represented them, who's at the top of the ladder, who was wise, who knew economic and managerial strategy, and the family and all the descendants, the offsprings begin to prosper. They begin to multiply. They're working. They're comfortable in Egypt. But God did not promise you Egypt. He promised you Canaan. He said in chapter 15, you'll go there, but that's not your home. Don't ever get comfortable in Egypt. And I'm afraid that many of us even have missed the lesson that the Bible teaches about this world, that we are in fact aliens here. Yes, it's not a pejorative term with me. We are aliens. We are foreigners. We are sojourning here. This is not our home. This is not our home. And so you can't get too comfortable in it. You know how I know? The saddest verse in the Bible, verse 8. Read it. There arose a new king. There came in a new king. He didn't know nothing about the people, didn't care to know nothing about the people. But what he did was he listened to the voices of those that were there and his own personal agenda. And he realized one thing. It's too many of y'all in our country. Somebody better help me. This immigration policy that we have has got to change. We're going to stop it. And we're going to get rid of the ones that are here. You know why? Because they're prospering and they're reproducing faster than we are. Oh, somebody better help me. I read this stuff. There ain't nothing new under the sun, folk. These folk didn't have some great evil psycho-emotive expression come to them one night and they come up with this. This comes straight out of the Word of God. God says this is how y'all act. This is how the world is. When you get too comfortable, when you think you got it made, in a system, in a world that is not yours, you in danger. Because there will come along some king, some governor, some president, some dictator who will not know the good that your people have done. That do not know that if it had not been for your people, his country wouldn't even be there. Oh, somebody better help me. So you got to go. You helped build a country. You helped stabilize the country. But now you got to go because you are producing too many children. And there grew up a king who knew not Joseph. And therefore, if he didn't know Joseph, he knew not God. That's why I say it's the saddest. They knew not. A generation of folk who didn't know anything about Joseph. They forgot all their Jewish history. They were not being taught Jewish history anymore. It was just prosperity. We're living good. We got good jobs. We're driving fine cars. And ain't nobody bothering us. We're just having as many babies as we want to. And somebody says, you know what? We don't like this. Because anytime you have, most folk call it crab mentality, but I call it the psychology of fear and hate. That's exactly what it is. Whenever you get too many things, too many people competing for the same resources, it will always introduce a psychiatry of fear and then hate. We're afraid of you. Oh, y'all read it? Verse 9, read verse 9.
And he said unto the people, behold, the people of children of Israel are more mightier than we.
Yeah. You know why they're more mightier than we? Because they're prospering and there's more of them. They're going to take over your legislature. They're going to take over your assemblies. They're going to take over the tops in government. They're going to be the rulers. Not even realizing that they weren't this king that they're talking about, A1. He ain't even a real Egyptian. He's what you call a hassock. But he got there. And he done forgot they let him in. Oh, folk, I told y'all you have to come to family church school. Because you're going to hear the truth here. You're going to find out what's happening, what's relevant. These lessons are written just for us. And they were written 3 years ago, long before the conditions that we're in right now, supposedly. So, here we go. He doesn't know God. He doesn't know Joseph. He don't care nothing about him. He knows one thing. If they keep on reproducing this way, they're going to take over your country. They're greater than you. If they're greater, that greater than you means that they have more power. And you don't ever want to concede power to anybody who's not like you. Read verse 10. Oh, yeah. See, and after 9 comes 10. Monty, that's just for you, Monty. See, Sin knew that. That's something new. That's something new. That's something new. That's something new. Verse 10. Verse 10. Verse 10.
Come on. Let us deal wisely with them. Let's say multiply and come to pass that when their fathers have any war, they join also to our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land.
You see, Doc, while I call it the psychiatry of fear and hate, see, it's too many of them. I'm afraid. And you know what? Suppose we are attacked. They might join our enemy. See, but did you notice that verse 8 says, there grew up a king that knew not Joseph? He didn't know nothing about these people's history. If he knew their history, they would have never fought them against the Hittites. The Hittites were their enemies. But see, out of fear and hate, we got to deal with this power. Because I don't mind y'all being here, but don't threaten the power. See, that's at first. Now, wait a minute. It was two of y'all. Now it's 22 and 42 and 142. And now it's 1,000. It's 10,000. It's 1,000,000 of y'all. That's how it's grown to about 600,000 at this point. And they are a threat to the country because they are reproducing faster than the native, the quote native. And so they said, let's deal with them wisely. Let's concoct a scheme. That's all it is. Let's find a way to attack the power. And you're going to see what happens when people get afraid of you and when people want what you have, what you have worked for. When you are competing for resources that they think they should have, when there's an imminent threat of war, they want to know who's on their side. And it's no different than America has done it and is experiencing it and is experiencing it now. Do y'all remember Japanese internment camps? But do you also remember the German internment camps right here in America? Over there on the East Coast? Yeah, because we always fear folk who are different from us. And so now these thugs have schemed away in the government, the top of the government, the king himself is talking to his advisors about how to deal with these people. Verse 11. One of the best ways to stop power and people who are progressing. See, this is plan one, and this is part A. First part, hey, let's just put them in camps. And let's divide them up, work groups. Because together, see, that's power. But let's segregate them. Put them in work groups, and we'll put a boss, taskmaster, over them. And you know what? We'll put them to work. They'll work for us. Slavery. People who hadn't done nothing but prosper, go about their business, had been good for their economy, and now they're going to incarcerate them, make them slaves, try to divide them, because that's what slavery is all about. When you look at the anatomy of the American slave system, that's exactly what it was about. That's why they didn't keep families together. That's why, the black American, the African American, who are descendants from slaves, can't be talking about who's my cousin and all of y'all are my brothers, because you don't know who your brother is. Because the whole idea was to divide folk up, split them up. Oh, y'all gonna see this morning. Y'all just gonna take this the way it is, because it's printed right there in the Bible. And the whole idea is to show you can't become too comfortable in this system. You got it going on now. They had it going on. Gibbs, they had it going on. These folk had cash, clothes, and cars. And now they're getting ready. They're gone into slavery. Verse 12. But the more they, what?
The more they,
isn't that amazing? The more they tried to stop it, the more this world tried to stop you, the more they multiplied. I'm going to tell you, it has a couple of implications here. Hard work don't kill nobody. Makes you hardy. I'll come back to it. I'll show it to you. Y'all don't believe me. But the other thing here is that when God's hand is on something, the world can come against you. They cannot win. No weapon formed against you shall prosper when it is not a part of God's divine plan. Because notice, so far we have read 11 verses and God is not in the picture. I'm ready to holler right now, God, where are you? These people weren't bothering nobody. They were prospering. They were good for the economy. They were good for this world. But this world ain't good for you. See that resounding silence that you hear from God so far? That's what he's saying. Yeah, you good to this world, but this world ain't good for you. And this is what's happening. The more they afflicted them, the hardier they became. Folk, there's no way, even those of you, or many ancestors suffered under the same thing, that we should even be here. But the more they afflicted, the more God could have wiped all of y'all. All of us could not even be here. But the mighty hand of God, oh, it's right here. Long before 1619. This is some 1,500, 600, 1,700 years before Christ came. So we end up at no 1619 here. But the more they afflicted them, the more they prosper. Verse 13 says,
and the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with.
Now the reason 13 is there is that at first it was nice slavery. It was like, Brother Gibbs, would you move that rock, please? You ain't getting paid, but move the rock. That rigger was, bow! Get over there and get that rock. It became more oppressive because that's what happens. Evil always degrades. It doesn't get better. Evil doesn't know when to quit, y'all. So it just kept right on tightening the loose, oppressing, beating down, because they oppressed them mildly. Now they made it even more odious. Because evil doesn't know when to quit. The devil doesn't know when to stop. The devil's not going to stop. Egypt represents a type of world system, a satanic system, a system that is not for you and I. So we shouldn't become comfortable in it, because anything can happen. And it's amazing how quickly your status can change. Because I remember a time, and Jerry, he remembers it better than I do because he's at least 10 years older, but that they welcome workers. I remember, you know. And now we're rejecting them. That's something bad. Because they represent power. They represent political power. And anytime you threaten power, power is going to come against you. And whether you do anything or not, whether you're passive, in this world, the word of God is clear. This world is not your home, and this world is going to come against you, no matter what you do. Be the nicest person in the world. This world is going to come against you. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage. You guys have seen the great Exodus, Ten Commandment movies, you know, Hey, they didn't lighten up. They didn't lighten up. And all you got to do is read the books like the Anatomy of the American Slave and all of that. It's terrible. That slavery is something else. These taskmasters were something else. I mean, there are some things I remember indelibly written in my mind as I was a young kid. Was a book that I read. I can't even remember what it was, but it was about the hardships of slavery, how they would beat, that some of these ladies were beat so badly that their breasts were ripped from their bodies from a whip. They made this oppressive, folks. They wanted to put this on their the Jews' mind that you're not wanted here, you're too powerful, and the only reason you're not wanted is that it's too many of you. In mortars and in brick and all manner of service in the field, they did all kinds of work of service wherein they made them serve. It was with rigor. It was oppressive. It was hard. It was no punch the clock at 8 o'clock and go home, you know, when it's time to go home and take rest breaks and all of that. It was just hard work, stomping that cement. Built these great cities, pyramids. Off the back of these folk and others. And the king of Egypt, you guys are reading.
And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which his name of one was Sephora, and the name of the other was
Pua. Beauty, Sephora, and Pua, splendor. Jews, midwives, a little bit about them. Normally, midwives, and these are the two recognizable names, okay? But there had to be many of them. But midwives were normally women who did not have children of their own. And this was a way, therapy, if you would. They could participate in the delivery of children and that sort of thing. They were normally midwives. And may even be married, and we're going to see that we believe at least these two were. And, but they were responsible for helping women, all women, Egyptian and Jew, in childbearing. And because of the population, you know, there was more than just these two. But scheme one doesn't seem to be working as effectively as they want. Slavery was not enough. They concocted this other scheme. You know why? Because the devil doesn't know when to quit. They said, verse 16. I'm not a doctor, but I play one on Sunday morning. We do have a real one in the room, so. But this procedure, and you gotta laugh, because how stupid can you be to how fearful can you be? How full of hate can you be? That you, when you are delivering, you know, we're concerned, you know, this abortion issue is debated now. I mean, the baby is coming. If you were able to determine the sex, they didn't have sonar and all of that then, Braji. They, you know, it was there. And he says, when you've got the ladies in the stirrup, here's what I want you to tell all your midwives. If you see that as a boy, kill it. Don't let it be expelled alive. That's abortion. That's late, late term abortion, folks. So you see, this is not, this Exodus is something else. Shows you slavery. Shows you, and when that scheme is not working the way that they want it, they said, let's just kill, but specifically, boy babies. Not the women. Because, you know, when they introduced this idea of slavery, Sister Keys, everybody was doing it. This is me now, but just think. All you gotta do is just think. Ha, huh, you know what? Those ladies can stomp that mortar just the same way men. And because, you know, Egyptians are known for their scientific advances and all of that, you know, hey, we don't need the manual strength to do this, so just kill the boy babies. But also, if you kill the men babies, you're killing strength. So not only do we want your power, we want to attack your strength. Y'all don't see it? This is what they've devised. This is what all this about dividing families at the border is about. This is what they talking about, the vast prison system dug in there. Everybody now has all been out of shape because of the long sentence. That was contrived, folks, to take males out of the home. And we're too foolish to see it. We're too obsessed with our own personal power and competition. And so what they did, they killed the boy babies. That's the strength. But also, that's where your seed is. You kill the men, there's not going to be any babies born. Abortion, slavery, abortion. And then we'll see at the end here, just out and out genocide. And we've seen all of that. So nothing's really changed. The world system still works. This is not our home. And church folk, don't think you can become comfortable. You are representing the Jewish folk. These Jewish folk are representing you. They're our type of you, the modern you today, the type church today. The devil doesn't care nothing about the rest of the world, but he hates everything about God. And there's only two things that God has ordained, the church and the home. Take the home. Take the men out of the home. Take the church. Keep brothers from coming to church. I despise the fact that you go in churches and men aren't in church. I despise that fact. I hate it. I despise the fact where you go to a church and then men have this role. They're not spiritual leaders. They're just money counters and grass cutters. I despise that. Because I know what it's all about. It's about this world system. It's not what God ordained. And let me tell you, I'm going to stick with what God says. May not be popular. People may not like me. Don't really care. Because in the end, you have to give an account for the fact that how I embrace this system, how I, you know, would teach this lesson. Oh, there's another way to teach this lesson, folk. And I imagine many folk, especially those where there are very diverse groups, that try to skirt around the issue. But the issue is coming at all of us. Because that same diverse group makes up the church. And that's the devil's ultimate target. He wants to do the same thing in church. He wants to abort everything that's coming out of the church. And the way you do it is you take men out of it. Take men out of the equation. And there's a reason why They kept the women because it's about economics. Oh, yeah. See, because they couldn't let the slave labor, they hadn't got that, sophisticated yet. And that's why later on, when they let all the slaves go, when Pharaoh got to thinking and says, wait a minute, what have we done? This is disastrous to the economy. We let all these people go. And there's money in this thing, male and female. This is our second attempt fail. But I'm just showing you the anatomy of fear and hate. What it'll bring you to. It'll have you enslaving folk. It'll have you aborting babies. And eventually, it'll have you in total genocide, because that's what's going to happen. Let's go. Let's go. Maybe you guys got something. Verse 17 says what?
But the Midwives feared God, and did not have the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men and children alive.
They feared God. You going to do what God says? See, they thought they had somebody on there that they could use. But there comes a point in your life that you have to say to this world system, I would rather believe, obey God than to obey man. This is not right with God. I will not do this. Now, do you realize what a Pharaoh could do? A Pharaoh could wink his eye, and that would be a signal to take you out. He don't even have to speak the word. He'd point at you, and you'd be gone. These women defied it. And guess what? The babies just kept on coming. Oh, somebody say, have mercy for the babies. Oh, hallelujah for the babies. They just kept right on coming. No matter how they try, it's another scheme. Because it's not working. It's not working. Verse 18 says, and the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, what have you done this thing and have saved the men, children alive? See, over time, they just kept saying, all these babies coming. That means they're not doing what I asked them to do. They had to be shaking in their boots. Since they had to be shaking in their boots, but they went there, and here's what they answered. Y'all read the answer. I don't even want to read the answer. How they answered them.
And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, and are illiterate, and are midwives
come into them. Ha! See, Willis, they try to, you didn't see the expressions when I said hard work will make you hardy. But I got the word of God on my side, folks. I told y'all, I only tell y'all what's in the word. The word, you know what it just said? It said that these women reply, well, you know, all this hard work that you make the Jewish women do, it makes them hardy. Therefore, they don't need our assistance as much. They deliver babies quickly. They don't do like Egyptians, pampered wives who don't do no work. You know, they struggle with birth. They the ones need our help. These women are strong. They're ready. They deliver the babies and getting ready to get back to work. Just as you guys chuckle, I chuckle. Because one of the things, I couldn't have been more than 10 cent. Maybe I was 10 years old. There was a very good close family. We're very, very close. So she must have been a niece. She was a niece of Miss Living, who was really close to us, had a baby. And Betsy Johnson Hospital, from where we lived in our neighborhood, was probably about 2.5 miles, maybe three miles. At the most, 2.5, 3 miles. This lady went to the hospital. She had her baby. She got wrapped her baby up and walked 3 miles back home. Same day. When I read this verse this week, it reminded, those memories came back. Because I remember that was talked about a long time. Why did she do that? Why didn't that call somebody, you know? We could have got a wagon and went and got her, you know? But nah, wrapped that baby up, came home. I thought about this, Hardy. Cotton picker, matter of fact, was a profession. But the whole point here was, they didn't tell the full truth. And it shows you that sometimes the things that you have to do, God can forgive you for the little lie that you tell, but for the greater good that you've done. Even God doesn't condone it. Because technically they lied to the Pharaohs. But they told some truth, but a half truth is just a whole lie. And that's what Grandma used to say to me, you know. So, but what we have here is her giving an explanation of why the king's eyes couldn't be fooled. His reports from all over the country were saying, these folk ain't doing what you're saying. Man, we had boy babies everywhere. These babies are still coming. These boy babies are still living. These girl babies, and these people are still, they are a threat to us. It's too many of y'all. What are we going to do? The devil does not know when to quit. Follow me. And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, verse 20, therefore, God was pleased with what the midwives done. Okay? And the people still prospered. Under these adverse conditions, the people still prosper. Next verse.
And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, and he made them houses.
Because they had a reverence for God, God made them houses. And everybody's like, ooh, they got houses. Well, a house don't do you much good if you're in slavery. Remember, these folk were Jews. Made them houses means that these women who were probably barren, without children, God saw to it that they had families, that they too had children. You can't mess with God. You can't thwart the plans of God. And the very thing that we're trying to keep out of our country today is probably what's good for us. And we're keeping that which we need to put out. Take that whatever you want. Take that any way you want. Bottom line, God has his hand, but it's not up to us. What we're to do is to fear God. Do what God says do. No matter how you are pressed, these people were pressed. They were pressed and then oppressed. Pressed by the matter of fact that they had to go into slavery. Oppressed by the fact that they were beaten and taunted, worked hard, worked to death, they worked to prosperity. Because the more they worked, the stronger they got. And the issue now is that we got folk who want to run away from work. Work that they're getting paid for. Oh yeah, some of these entrepreneurs who own companies try to get people to work. That's one of the most frustrating things in the world. Don't want to work. But I tell you what, when you go to prison, you don't get to decide whether or not you're going to work today or not. You in bondage? You don't get to decide. Oh, please, could you call someone up? I call it the deacon syndrome. Call someone up to take my duty over at the Rock today. Well, don't y'all mess with me. Don't y'all mess with me. Hey, my work can't kill nobody. But the whole thing about this narrative today in Exodus is that when we look back yesterday, they were prospering, doing well. Today, they're still prospering. Notice that the word is that they were powerful or prospering. You know, those are all interpretations. And the reason why is because whenever you got legacy, whenever you got seed, you're prospering. Whenever you got seed, as long as seed is not destroyed, you will prosper. Seed is to be sown, and people can try to stop it. But the issue, if there's no seed, you're cut off. And God was going to make sure that that didn't happen because he made a covenant with Abraham. And he's still living up to his covenant, even with the church. Every time someone accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord and personal Savior, it is another fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Y'all better help me. God is not going to let this be cut off. He's not going to be let it cut off. You can take prayer out of school. Oh, what an illumination. Didn't I tell y'all that verse 8 was the saddest verse in the entire Bible? You know why? Because now, fast forward to America, we not only have a king who does not know God, we have a generation who does not know God. You know why? Because we haven't taught them. We teach them about Jordans and jeans and playing games and all that craziness. But don't want to take them to church. Don't want to keep them in Sunday school. But I digress. We're living in a time when people don't know God. There was a survey, I think I shared it at other campus the other day, that where a pastor went to, it was like 80 preachers at this conference. And at this conference, they do a little like prizes and stuff, and a little simple thing. And they wanted, one of the questions that they asked in this little competition, how many books, somebody say books, are there in the Bible? That's what they asked us, the keys. A conference of preachers. 60%, 60 did not know, got it wrong. Because we live in a generation that does not know the Word of God. Amen. And if you don't know the Word of God, you risk missing all that you need in order to live a life in this system, in this world, that does not care nothing about you. As I go, I'm just the messenger. So Jerry, don't try to constrict my check. You know, don't say, no, we're reducing him today. He brought us some bad news, you know. Nah. I'm just telling, write the full check, Jerry, write the full check. Verse 22 says what? Plan one, put them in slavery. Plan two, abort all the male babies. Plan three, genocide. Just kill them outright. Guys, all of that has happened throughout our history. The things that we see right here. I think it was Truman who said, America, don't be a fool.